How is everybody? Good? Can I get a seat? Well, all right. Thank you. Well, can anyone tell me what we talked about last week?
Good fruit and bad fruit.
Good fruit and bad fruit. Hey, that's pretty good. You jumped ahead of me. What else was that about, though? False prophets. So after last week's sermon did anybody go home and look at the fruit of their life and go, I'm a false prophet? Show of hands. Anybody out there? You know, most of the time we think it's always someone else. We're always like, oh, that's someone else. I've got to watch out for them. I've got to watch out for this. But this week, Christ points it back at us. This week, the sermon is for all those who say, Lord, Lord. You know who that is? No, who the people who say that. That's us. When we claim to be Christians, when we say we're Christians, we say, Lord, Lord. But how do you know false prophets? By their fruit. All right. I need someone to stand up in the back. I need some help. All right, Todd. Can you tell me which one of these is real? This one? Okay.
That's
right. Someone a little closer, stand up. Roger. Which one of these do you think is real? This one? All right. All right, kids, which one do you guys think is real? This one. Everyone's consensus it's real. Well, everybody's right. But you know, sometimes they can get, there's some really good fakes out there. And you won't know. From a distance, especially back there, they may look the same. You know, and you get closer, and you get closer, and sometimes you can tell, and sometimes just by looking at them, you may not be able to tell the difference. But now, if I bite into this, am I going to know?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going Man, there's... It's hard, and look, there's a hole in that one. There's nothing in there.
Somebody must have ate it.
But look, when I bite into this one, I know it's the real deal. And that's what Christ is calling us to do, to bite into our own lives and look at them and ask, are we the real deal? Because the world is looking for the real deal. They're not looking for the fake fruit that looks good that they can put on their counter. They're looking for the real deal, the real Christians that bring the love of Christ to them, that share the love of God, who sent his son to die for us, to die for their sins. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're waiting to hear about. And so tonight we're gonna talk about that. And we're going to talk about that, you know, even when we're the real deal, it's not our fruit that saves us. It's Christ alone. And it's believing in him and putting your whole life in him. And that's how we become the real deal. He takes us from this and makes us into this. So let's pray, and we'll go back and talk about that some more. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, Father, by which we can know you, by which we can look at our own lives, Father, and through the Spirit you show us. Father, and we praise you that you make us new. A new creation, Father, that is living and breathing and loving. And so I pray tonight that you would convict us and show us where we're not, and you would change us. Lives would be transformed tonight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
What?
Father, these are some sobering verses tonight, God. Lord, they make us examine us ourselves to the core. God, and I pray tonight, God, that anyone in here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would know and that you would show that to them, God. God, you know my heart is heavy for this message, God, because many of us who are deceived do not know it. God, and so I pray, Lord, for clarity, Lord, and I pray for freedom in this place tonight. God, I ask that in your Holy Spirit would just empower me, even at this point, Lord. I invite you to have your way in me. And God, I pray it's already been evident in here, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would go through here and take, even if I do not preach this message well, God, I pray your Spirit will save people tonight. God, because this is not about me. This is about you. And so, God, I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for their heart that would allow them to listen and want to do right, God. But I pray, Lord, if there's anybody, Lord, that does not know you here tonight, Lord, that they would make that decision tonight. Save people in this place tonight, Jesus. Amen. I titled the message tonight, How Do You Know That You Know Jesus? And that's something that you need to answer, that question. And tonight, as we look in these scriptures, we're going to see, we're not going to have to go very deep tonight. Because these scriptures speak for themselves. That's the scriptures that y'all read on that thing. And so the issue is, what are you going to do with those scriptures? How do you know that you know Jesus? Last week, we were asked to evaluate false teachers. We were given some examples from Butch and of some modern-day false teachers. Some of you may even have disagreed with what Butch said about some of these false teachers. But I want to know, I'd let you know the heart behind what Butch said and behind this judgment is to make us evaluate why we believe what we believe. Okay, we're not just calling out teachers because what they're saying is dangerous, okay? It's a deception, okay? We're asked to judge these teachers by their fruit. What was the result from their teaching? As we saw last week, for many of these teachers, the results of their teachings were deception and destruction. That's what they were teaching. That was the fruits of their. And these are all tools of Satan, this deception and destruction. And we saw that even though they came in sheep's clothing, they were really inwardly, they were ferocious wolves. Okay, they were there they were predators to the frauds and swindlers. And we were shown that in the end, they will ultimately be revealed. Until then, we were told to do what? Watch out. And so tonight we see Jesus going and getting to the whole point of this Sermon on the Mount. All these things we've been talking about, all this true righteousness, all these things that we've been talking about so far in this series, Jesus is getting down to the nitty gritty tonight. Judgment on who will and who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to tell you, people, that if we do church because we want people to get saved, we want people to know our Savior, we want people to know our Lord, and we want people in heaven with us, okay? That's why we do this. We don't do church just so we can hang out together. We do this because we know that we have the answer. We have the words of life, okay? And we want to offer those to you tonight. There's much deception in this area of who's going to go to heaven and who's not. And I'm going to tell you, Satan is awesome at his job. Because what Satan wants to do more than anything, he wants to make a believer doubt that he's saved. Okay? But he wants to make a lost person believe that they are saved. See, his goal gets done that way. You got a believer that doubts his salvation, he's not going to share with anybody because he's not real sure about himself, okay, about what's going on in his life. He's not going to share with nobody because he's not really convinced himself. And that's Satan's job to do that to you. But for the non-believer, for those who are out there, Satan says, man, you're fine. You don't need that. You're better than 90% of the people I know. You know, your good outweighs your bad, whatever it is. I mean, you compare yourself to drug dealers and things like that, even though you might have been one at some point. You start comparing yourself to those, you look kind of good. But see, but that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make you believe that you're okay. Because at the day of judgment, you're not going to be okay. And you're not doing his kingdom any damage. See, the purpose of tonight's sermon is not to make true believers doubt their salvation. I promise you that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm fixing to say something that's probably going to rock some of y'all's world. It's impossible as a Christian to doubt your salvation. It's impossible to doubt your salvation. You need to know that you know Jesus, okay? Satan wants you to doubt it because he wants to cripple you. You need to know. But the cool part about this is tonight, for some of y'all, you're like, well, wait a minute, you know? That's a little tough. I don't always know. But I'm going to tell you what, you can leave here tonight with some confidence in knowing that you know Jesus, okay? I promise you. We're going to look at 1 John 5, 1 through 5. We're going to put it up on the, we got it up on the screen. Y'all can look. We got a couple more verses in 1 John if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, I hope and my desire is not for not to anybody just to doubt their salvation, but it's for you to leave here with some confidence. Some confidence to know that we can start. Because you know what? A confident Christian is one of the most dangerous tools for Satan. Okay? Because we're going to storm the gates of hell with nothing but confidence in our Savior Jesus Christ, right? Okay? And so when I know that I'm saved, you can't mess with me. Okay? You can't mess with me, Satan, because I know greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. And I know I got him in there, okay? And so we're going to look in here at 1 John. We're going to look at a little test, okay, a little bit. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. See, that's the first thing. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. And I'm not talking about no mind thing, okay? I'm talking about belief that changes your life. I'm talking about a belief that gets into your heart and makes you act a fool because you love Jesus and you believe, man, he is the most powerful thing in the world. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we're the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. See, that's another way that you know Christ. Because if you love God, you're going to carry out his commands, okay? And I'm not talking about perfection, because every one of us are in the sanctification process, okay? Everything that I'm saying here, the only way that you can believe Christ, the only way that you can live out his commands is through the grace of God. And your sanctification comes through grace just like your salvation comes through grace, okay? So you're never going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You're never going to be able to do that. You're always going to be leaning and taking from the grace of God. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Did y'all hear me, people? His commands are not burdensome. Everything that God puts in our heart and commands us to do is for the best for us, okay? God loves us. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. How many of y'all getting beat up by the world? You know? But the only way you're going to overcome the world is the same grace of God you got saved by. Okay? Because it's the same grace that teaches you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. Okay? That's what it is. It's the grace of God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Okay? God is big enough to take fear from me. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how you overcome the world. In verse 13, and this is the one I want y'all to see. Because y'all might have said, man, I don't know that I'm a Christian. I'm going to tell you what, you need to know that you're a Christian. Because he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. You don't have to guess that you have eternal life. And what is eternal life? John 17:3 tells us that. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Man, praise God, huh? Eternal life. I'm not talking about when we get to heaven, we know him. Eternal life is here on this earth right now. That we get to know Christ right here. That's eternal life. I'm going to tell you what, there's no better life to know in the peace that you have God in you. There's nothing better than that. I'm telling you, I don't care what you've tried. Nothing is better. I promise you. That you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Man, that seems so simple, huh? It seems like we ought to just get it. Everybody ought to get saved. Why is anybody not saved? Because that's so simple. But although it seems cut and dry, there's still many people who will be deceived on the day of judgment. So I ask you tonight, how do you know that you know Jesus? What are you basing that on, you know? I know that's a question that makes us dig into our core, but I'm going to tell you what, that's a question you need to answer, and you need to answer it tonight, okay? How do you know that you know Jesus. We're going to look in it. We're going to look in here tonight, and there are going to be some things that they talk about, their works and different things. We're going to look at that in a minute, but I'm going to tell you what, I want people to leave here with confidence tonight. Not condemnation, but for some of y'all, it's going to be a tough night because y'all got to make some decisions in your life. Know that word in vines, know is obtained not by mere intellectual activity, okay? This word know is, but by the operation of the Holy Spirit consequent upon acceptance of Christ. That's when you know Jesus, when you allow him to come into your heart and you allow the Holy Spirit to take over ownership of your heart. That's when you know him. And that's how come I know him. Because he's inside of me. He speaks to me. I'm going to tell you what. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I'm going to just tell you. You need to know that you know God. Because this is the most important decision in your life. Because it's a matter of heaven or hell. It's heaven or hell, people. That's it, you know. Why? I hope through this thing y'all have evaluated yourself. Whether you're on the wide road or the narrow road and everything that comes from that. But I'm going to tell you. The two choices are heaven and hell. That's it. I'm not usually fire and brimstone, but I'm going to tell you what, the Lord has put a fire in me tonight. Amen. And a burden. Man, I don't know if I can get through this. Some of y'all are going to go to hell in here tonight if you don't accept Christ. And as a proclaimer of the gospel, I'll take whatever hits it takes to present and beg you to come to my Jesus. If you don't like what I say, I'm sorry. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to be able to leave here tonight and say, I never heard. Okay? I love you too much. Because I've been deceived. You've all been deceived at times. So Matthew 7:21-23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. And the fact that not everyone is even in there, that's what breaks my heart, you know. Not everyone. That tells me that some people who think they're going to make it, they ain't going to make it. Okay? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. Saying you know Jesus ain't enough, okay? Just like this knowing, I can say I know George Bush. But if I call him on the phone, he don't know me. You know? He don't know me. You know, I know him, but he don't know me. Because we don't have that relationship, but I know who he is. Knowing who Jesus is ain't going to do you no good. Amen. They say to me, Lord, Lord. I mean, these people are saying things like, teacher, sir. I mean, they're respectfully acknowledging God, okay? These are not the people who are adamantly against the Lord. They say, Lord, Lord. They're saying, they're acknowledging God. I believe you exist. That doesn't do you no good. It's lip service. James 2:19 says, you believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Amen. You know, isn't it a shame that a demon understands God better than we do? Because right. So, if you're deceived out there tonight, you ain't shuddering. You think you're just fine. But see, the demons believe they know God. The demons believe and they shudder. You know why they shudder? Because they know they have lost. They know they've lost, okay? That's why they shudder. They're smarter than some of you out there tonight. Some of y'all need to be shuddering in your boots tonight. Because I'm going to tell you what, heaven or hell are the two choices that you have. Right. Nobody that says that just Lord, Lord's going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says right here. That intellectual faith without any basis, this thought, and although you know all the Bible verses and stuff, that ain't going to do you no good either, okay? I'm telling you that. We deceive ourselves. And those of you that think you're going to do it your way, Jesus says, I am the way. Amen. I am the way. And if you try it your way, you might be on the highway, the wide road, okay? I'm just telling you, you need to get away from your way because your way is not lead you to death. See, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death, okay? Yeah. So you got to get your way out of there. Brian took all my time, but I'm tell you what, we stand tonight. We're staying tonight because I'm going to tell you what, there's a message in here that got to come out, you know. It's God's word. And some of you do that lip service, that compliments, you know. You know how it is when somebody compliments you. I have people in my shop call me, you know, because they want a good deal or free or whatever, you know. They say, hey, I'm this way. They start name dropping on me. You know, man, I hear you the best, you know, and all this stuff, throwing up all them compliments, you know, all that lip service to me, you know. But you know one thing? That don't get them, that don't get their bill paid for, okay? And I'm going to tell you the truth. This is exactly the same thing. Your lip service to God don't get your bill paid for, okay? Because there's a debt that's owed that only can be paid for by the blood of Jesus, okay? I don't care what you say, that is not going to get you there. You can say all the best verses. You can be the most well-versed person in the world, and you ain't going to get there because of your words. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So I'm asking you tonight, does your life line up with your speech? And I had a young man come to me, you know, and he said, Alan, I need you to pray for me. I know he's living like the devil. I need you to pray for me for some power tonight. I said, brother, don't let your life mess up my prayer. Because I'm going to tell you what, the way you live is a big deal, okay? The way you live is a big deal. It's your fruits. It's what everybody gets to see, okay? You can say all you want to, but the way you live is a big deal. Only he who does the will of my Father. That's obedience. That means you do what God tells you to do. We know an experience in God, so we know God's will. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways, okay? So God speaks. God speaks to you, okay? If you're somebody who obeys God's will, you got to be somebody that can hear God's voice, all right? Because it says in there that my sheep know my voice. So if I sit here and say, God speaks to you, and you think, man, I've never heard God speak to me, you're in trouble, brother, sister, mother, dad, whatever it is. If God does not speak to you, you are in spiritual trouble because God speaks to his people. And you're deceived if you think you can just go through this life on what comes through your mouth and other people's, okay? God speaks to you through by the Holy Spirit, through the Bible. See, you might say, well, I ain't never heard the audible voice of God. Well, that's okay. Yeah, a lot of us maybe never have, okay? For me, it's that still, small voice. It's that thing in my chest that says, ooh, you know? But God also speaks through his word, the Bible, okay? You read the Bible. It also tells us that the man without the Spirit, the things of the Bible are foolishness to him, okay? So without the Spirit, even when you read the Bible, you can't understand anything. But when you have the Spirit, you open the Bible, even if you're dumb as a rock, God can bring some stuff out of that Bible. Amen. And I say that because I know so many people say, well, I just can't get nothing out of the Bible. Let me tell you what, if you really just can't get nothing out of the Bible, you need to check your heart. You need to check your salvation. You need to check that because here's the thing. Here's what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit of God, the God that made this universe, that comes inside of me, he can make me understand something, okay? He can make me understand something. He said, I'll even make the rocks cry out, okay? So if God can make a rock cry out in worship, he can make me understand the Bible no matter how dumb I am. And if it's a matter that you just can't read, they make tapes, okay? Get the word in you. But another way you get the Bible in you is coming to church, okay? We are going to preach the word to you. That's the beauty of being in the body of Christ, because you get the full deal of God. I mean, yes, it's good to get it on your own, but I'm going to tell you what, God can speak to you through the Bible in these services, so why don't you come? I can't say that to y'all here, okay? Yeah, this will be on the radio. We have to do that one, yeah? Kind of like, echoed. I got to get y'all lightened up, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to get too light, people, because this is serious stuff. God speaks through the Bible, prayer. Right, Barney? No prayer, no relationship, huh? I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have no prayer life, you are deceiving yourself to think that you have a relationship with God, okay? I'm not saying that you ain't never prayed. I'm just telling you to check yourself because, see, you can take everything I'm saying, all these doubts that I'm putting in, you can get rid of them by saying, Alan, I remember. I remember when the Holy Spirit came on me. I remember that I know I changed, you know. So you can count. I'm just telling you, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have no relationship with God. And he speaks through circumstances in the church. See, circumstances, God, there's things that happen around in your life every day that you don't give God credit for, okay? Circumstance. God speaks to you through circumstances. And to me, it's so awesome to know that the God pursues me through my life, huh? Isn't it awesome to know that God pursues you through circumstances, whether they're good or bad? Even the bad circumstances you can praise God for because it's God in them. And the church. Don't stay home, is what I'm telling you. Because you need the church. I understand how people can get disenchanted with the church because the church is made up a bunch of people. Okay? I understand that. But the bottom line is it doesn't matter what you think. The church is God's tool to present the gospel and for you to grow. You can't be all you want to be without the church. Okay? I promise you that. These people that do it on their own, that's what they're doing it my way. Okay? They got their own way. In 1 John 2, 3 through 6, there's another way that we can get some confidence. It says, we know, and man, if you really just want some straight up verses, just go to 1 John and just read them all. Okay? 1 John's my man. He's my man because he's simple. He don't do no parables. He's straight up, all right? We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Straight up. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, he's a liar. I love that man. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. If you claim Christ, you got to walk like Jesus did. And how did Jesus walk? Jesus didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father doing. So he needed to do things on his own. Jesus didn't do things on his own. And to do that, it takes some faith, folks, to walk like Jesus did, because Jesus is a high mark. Okay? It takes some faith. He's going to ask you to do it, but the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you ain't stepping out in faith, you're not pleasing God. Okay? And when you step out in faith, it reveals what you believe about God. And if your salvation hadn't changed how you act or live, you had no true salvation. I will promise you that. Okay? Because everybody who came into encounter with Jesus changed. So if you can just say you know Jesus and then just keep on living your life like you want to, I'm going to tell you what, you are deceived. I promise you, you're deceived. So to know the will of God, and if you want to know some more about the will of God, just go back through this Sermon on the Mount, okay? The will of God is all through this, about anger. And some of y'all God's already told y'all about your money, your anger, your marriages and things like that. God's already told y'all some things, and y'all just ain't doing them, okay? I'm going to tell you what, you're in a dangerous position. You go all through this sermon, you go back through this sermon, all these things, and you just study. The will of God's all in this Sermon on the Mount. The will of God is that we believe in Christ. Amen? And that we repent of sin. Don't let sin just sit there and act like it ain't no big deal. Repent. Because that's the cool thing about it. Sin eats us up. But you know the best part about sin is when you confess it, it ain't sin no more, man. God done forgot about it. As far as the east is from the west. That's the best. I mean, I don't understand that. Sin that cripples you one minute, you confess it, he don't even remember it no more. Okay? So some of y'all need to forget your past a lot of time to get it back where God. The devil's eating you up. He's making you think you ain't saved because some sins that you've done in the past. It ain't got nothing to do with that. Confess them and they're gone. Okay? But repent means you turn around. You don't just confess them. You fill it back up with the things of God. Okay? You live a holy and you live a set apart life. And that we love one another. That's the will of God. And it's that same love that makes me do a warning like this tonight. Because if you reject this teaching tonight, you're probably going to hell. Okay? You ain't probably going to hell. You are going to hell. You know? I'm not going to beat around the bush. I don't want to be the man you said. Oh, he said probably. Heaven, give me a little out. You know? So you can't continue to shrug off conviction and think you're okay. Because true faith produces action. Turn over to James 2, 14 through 17. I don't know if I have it up there. That's way in the back. Y'all might not ever find that before I get through. I'm just going to go on and read because Brandon took up all my time. All right. Y'all just listen if you want to. Right. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it to have faith without deeds? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. This intellectual faith that does never change your life, it's not faith. Okay? And we're going to find out a little bit later, your works is not going to get you there either. Okay? Verse 22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles? And that word many, it just gets in my throat again. Many will say to me on that day. Man, that should break our hearts, okay? We know people on the wide road, many, and we just keep the words that they need in our heart, in our mouths, okay? They will say to me on that day, and that day I'm talking about is what I've talked about already, the day of judgment. And they said, they will say to me, so you're not going to get to heaven through no one else but Jesus, okay? That's who you're going to talk. If you don't have a relationship with the living Christ, you're not going to make it. On that day, the day of judgment, and it is coming. I'm going to tell you, y'all that are sitting there thinking you just make it, the grace of God hadn't struck you down yet. I'm going to tell you what, just the fact that some of y'all are still alive today is the grace of God that he hadn't struck you down. All right? But the day of judgment is coming. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 tells us he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. He will punish you. But I don't want it to be all bad, because judgment isn't all bad, because it ain't bad for me. Okay? Bring it. Bring judgment. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. Praise the Lord. Not only for me, but also for those who have longed for his appearing. And for me and you, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, we should not be scared of judgment. Amen? Amen. Come on, y'all getting quiet on me, but I'm going to tell you, I expected it tonight. Okay? I'm not going to coach y'all up tonight, because I'm going to let the Lord do his work in y'all. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and do many miracles? They say, Lord, Lord. Again, they assumed a friendship, okay, and a relationship. They're assuming that, and they're expecting. They're saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? They're expecting a positive response for all the things that they've done. They've been keeping up with it. See, and that's what we want. We want Jesus to affirm and bless our half-hearted legalistic devotion. You know, that's what we want. That's what we want. We want him to grade on the curve, right? So we can do it our way and his way a little bit. We can look just good enough for everybody else, but that's good enough. Sometimes we get a little too familiar with Jesus. Y'all hear me? Me and Jesus, we got our own agreement. Man, I've heard people tell me that. I'm like, man, your own agreement's going to get you sent to hell. We got a little side deal working. I don't got to go to church. Me and Jesus, we like this, you know? You get a little too familiar with Jesus. You forget that he's Lord. You know what I'm saying? You forget. You say, man, Jesus, he's a loving God. He's not the one. We partners. We've done stuff together. I went to church. Big deal. He is the Lord, commander, and one who possesses authority. By definition, someone who tells his servant to do something and they do it. That's who Jesus is. He's our Lord. He said, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and do many miracles? Man, see, these people here were keeping up. Said, wait a minute, God, I have to make it. Because when we look at these works that they're talking about, this is some amazing stuff. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. There's some amazing stuff that they did here. We're not talking about, we just went to church, God. These people were prophesying, but they said, did we not? They're keeping records. And that's some of y'all. Y'all keeping records of y'all's good outweighing your bad, and you think that's going to get you there just because you're better than somebody else. Man, I have a friend of mine this week. He said, I told him, I said, dude, you ain't going to make it. And I said, you got this system where you're good at where you're bad. He said, where's that a bad thing? Deception. I'm going to tell you, deception. Good man, good religious man told me that. Good friend of mine. Breaks my heart, you know, because I spoke the truth to him. He rejected it. Did we not keep, and they're keeping records of what their work. And on the other side of that, we got in Matthew 25:37, the truly righteous, when he's talking about separating the sheep from the billy goats, you know? Jesus, I'm going to read that real quick. I don't think the word billy goats is in there. I think that come from North Bryan. All right. I didn't add to the word of God. It's just a different translation. All right. There you go. Then the king will say to those on his right, come who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And listen to this. These are the righteous, okay? Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we do those things? Okay? The truly righteous, they don't keep up with their works. And see, and if the minute I ask you to evaluate why you know Jesus and you start thinking all the things you did, I'm going to tell you what, you're probably deceived. Because it ain't had nothing to do with what you do. It's all about Jesus and everything he did. Okay? So if your reasoning for you knowing it's some things that you've done, you gave, whatever, okay, that's not it. And look what these people did. They were prophesying. Prophesying is to speak as if divinely inspired. Okay? To preach. Able to speak inspired messages. That's somebody who prophesied. Inspired messages, okay? These things look real. To make a prediction, to utter as if divine inspiration. See, these people, preachers, what that tells me, there's nobody in this place tonight exempt from God's judgment, okay? Including myself. I'm going to share with you all a little bit later. Man, believe me, I don't just preach to y'all. I wear myself out all week with the same message because I need to know that I know, okay? In your name, we drive out demons and perform many miracles. I mean, these works seem to be real, okay? These aren't false works. There was some real stuff going on here. They were really healing people. They were really doing miracles. But see, what that tells me, even the most miraculous works are insufficient to get you to heaven. Okay? Because you think about the disciples. They were all doing those things. And we know one disciple named Judas. Judas was probably casting out demons, healing people, and doing the same thing because he was a disciple just like everybody else. And what was Judas? He ended up in hell. Okay? So it doesn't matter all these things that you've done. So don't put your hat on the things that God's allowed you to do because you might have even been an amazing preacher. You might have been an amazing preacher. There may be a preacher who has gifts for the ministry, for external and have an external call and even some success in it and still be wicked man, right? He may help others to heaven and yet come short himself. See, any one of us can be deceived. That's why we got to know the truth. Mark 13, 22 through 23. If you'll put that up there for me, please. Jesus warns, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect. Y'all look up there. If that were possible. See? These false miracles, they should not be able to deceive us because it's not impossible. It's impossible to deceive the elect, okay? Because there's a confidence that we're supposed to have. And if you don't leave with nothing else here tonight, I want you to leave with the confidence that you know Jesus, okay? So be on guard. I've told you everything ahead of time. See, today it seems like people are looking at something that they can see and put their confidence in. I mean, you see these gifts of tongues, you know, as some evidence of a spiritual life or the Holy Spirit. See, gifts of tongues ain't going to get you nowhere. Okay? Ain't no evidence. That's an external thing sometimes that shows men something. Matthew Henry's got a quote. He said, grace will bring a man to heaven without working miracles. But working miracles will never bring a man to heaven without grace. Huh? So it don't matter. I don't care how anointed or whatever you feel like you are. If you're not doing them under the power of the Holy Spirit, these are works. They're just works. Okay? Verse 23 says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Man, we all just quit and cry right here because there's some people here possibly going to hell in this room tonight. He said, then I will tell him plainly, I never knew you. See, this meant not at any time. Because I came up in a denomination that said, you know, you could lose your salvation. And he's saying, right, I never knew you. I never knew you. This is not someone who lost their salvation, but you know what? He said, I never knew you. And at this time of judgment, there's no time for rededication, folks. Okay? Because some of y'all, when you're out there sinning, and some of y'all might even be deceived, think, well, I'm not lost. I'm just backslidden. I'm going to tell you what, there's a thin line between being backslidden and lost. And it'll be clear and plain on the day of judgment. That's the thing about it. If you're in a backslidden position here tonight, I'm going to tell you what, you're in a dangerous position. Because I can't tell, I don't know what happened to you before, but if you're in a backslidden position, if you die tonight, I can't promise you heaven. There's no confidence in that. So why do you want to be backslidden? Just repent and get back. Get back. And so why did he reject them? He said, away from me, you evildoers. So why did he reject them? Because they were workers of iniquity. They had secret sins. Living in known sinfulness. See, them secret sins are just as bad as the one, because you can fool me, okay? The secret sins are worse because you're a hypocrite. Living in known sinfulness. Some of y'all just straight up, I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing. Go ahead. Go to hell. That's hard for me to say to y'all because I love, man, y'all know my heart. Y'all know I'm nice. Bush says I'm nice, man. And I got to preach this. But I'm going to tell you what, I am nice because I love y'all enough to tell you this, okay? They had no relationship. But here's the cool part about this tonight. It's not too late to give your life to Christ tonight. Because Jesus said in Matthew 9:12, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Okay? So tonight I want to offer you heaven. And it comes by way of the true gospel. I'm not talking about this gospel that says you can just do things your way. This gospel says you have to admit that you're wrong. You got to admit that you're a sinner. You got to admit that you're on the wrong road. You got to admit that everything you've done to this point is wrong. You may be a preacher. You may be a preacher's wife. You may be a song director. You may be an elder. You may be whatever, okay? At some point, you got to decide whether you know Jesus or not. You got to admit. And you got to do like we did in 1 John. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. See, because there had to be a penalty for your sin. This is the gospel that God came from heaven, left heaven, came to earth, and spilt his blood for your messed up sin. While you were yet a sinner, that's when he died for you, okay? So that's the gospel. I mean, you believe that, and then you confess. You admit, you believe, and then you confess with your mouth, and it changes your life. And you believe those things, and it comes, this deal of him coming into your heart. He will come into your heart. But I'm going to tell you what, you asked him to just take over your life, or you just give your life to him. That's all it is. And it can be as simple as a prayer, God help. Because here's the thing, I think people get caught up on the sinner's prayer. Some of y'all may have your confidence on, I said the sinner's prayer. I'm going to tell you what, the prayer don't mean nothing if it ain't in your heart, okay? You could have said 100 times, okay? So I'm going to lead you in a prayer tonight, but I want you to pray something like this, okay? So if you want to give your life to Christ, bow with me tonight. Say, Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you. I need a Savior. Lord, everything I've done in my life is wrong. And God, I need you to come into my life. Lord, I need you for salvation. Lord, I need you for the power that it takes to live out this life. God, I give myself to you. I give my life to you tonight. Lord, help. The best I know how. The best I know how. I give my life to you. Amen. It's that simple. But the prayer don't mean nothing if it isn't from your heart. We can say it over and over. But if you didn't pray that prayer, you know, you're either rejecting God or you're having a praise service in your heart because you know already that you know Christ, huh? Two ways. You're either rejecting God. If you didn't pray that prayer, you're either rejecting God tonight or you already know God and you're having a party on the inside. So how do you know that you know Jesus? And I want you to evaluate yourself tonight. On what are you basing your salvation on? Is it on faith? Is it something so deep that can't nothing shake? We're going to talk about that next week. Is it on God's word? Is it on a heart of obedience? Is that where you get your faith? Is that where you know that you know Jesus? Because you do things that you never did before? Is it because of repentance? Because you have turned from your wicked ways and you're chasing after God wholeheartedly? Is that where you get your faith to know that you know God? Have you had a changed life? Are you a new creation? See, because that's what happens when you get saved. You become a new creation. Has that happened to you tonight? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. This is the most amazing verse in the Bible. I know, there's a lot of them. For it is by grace that you've been saved. Through faith that is not from yourself. Praise the Lord, we can't do it ourselves, huh? It is the gift of God, not by works, so that you can't boast. If we could work our way in, we could say, God, I earned this. It's a gift of God. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. See, you're not anybody until you're in Christ Jesus. You know? To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so I'm sitting there asking y'all to evaluate yourself. And I'll tell y'all, this week, people, I did the same thing. I evaluated myself because my testimony is kind of weird. Because you know what? I can't tell you when I got saved. And some of y'all, I've talked to some of y'all before. Some of y'all are the same way, okay? But here's something. The Lord shook loose of me this week. When I was a kid, I got walked there, got baptized, said I got saved when I was a young kid, okay? Then I went through school, high school, acted just like most of y'all probably, you know? Did a bunch of dumb stuff, okay? Still had that on the back burner. I said the prayer, right? Then as I become a parent, you know, God, there was times where God came in my life and convicted me of things and I began to change. But, you know, there was never no real lasting change, all right? And so I did some things. I went to church. I mean, we went to church all the time, okay? I even was not really a leader. We were just at the church all the time. And so there were some good things that happened in the church. And so Butch preached this message a few years ago, and I did the same thing. I was like, okay, am I saved? Am I saved? Now, the one thing I did that did shake out from that, I was really sure I wasn't saved when I was a kid, okay? So I got rebaptized like some of y'all have before, too, because I wanted to get my baptism on the right side of my salvation, okay? Because that's what baptism is. It's a sign of me being saved, okay? And so I knew at the time I got baptized I was saved. But here's the thing. Even in that time, I had been putting some stock in the fact that God changed my life, you know? But I still, there were periods in my time where I backslid and just sinned, whatever. There was things going on in my life. But I still, what I put as what I clung to was the fact that when I heard the truth, I began to obey. Okay? That's what I was clinging to. And I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot tell you 100% sure that in that state where I didn't know the truth, before I really knew the truth, that if I would have died that day, I would have went to heaven. I would hate to be in that position tonight. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe, maybe not. But I ain't there tonight. Because God's done some radical things in my life. And you can't tell me I ain't saved. Because there's a peace in me, that there's a confidence in me, because I do things that there's no way in the world I could do without God. Just look up here. Y'all don't know what I go through to do this. But he's worthy. He's worthy. I know I'm saved. And I want you to know it too. But I don't want you to put your faith in the fact that you're saved on something that happened years ago when you don't have any proof this side of that. Okay? I don't want to preach to you a false gospel that's going to end up you standing before the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do these things? Didn't we do these things? Lord, Lord. See, that this whole passage right here is the fruit of false teaching. You see? These false teachers had made these people believe that they were saved. So tonight, man, I want you to evaluate yourself. And I'm going to tell you one, I'm fixing to finish. We were in prayer class, and it was just so cool. One of the guys started praying about in prayer, and here's the things that he prayed. This is awesome. He said, God, I thank you that you did what it take to make me move to this town. You brought somebody who works with me, you know, from your church. You brought me to your church, and I got to see you again. I mean, it's just amazing just to hear a prayer like that. Of everything in that prayer is what God did to pursue somebody, okay? It ain't nothing they did, okay? It's amazing when you get to recognizing the activity of God in your heart and in your life and in your circumstances. God pursues you. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's people in here tonight that God's pursuing. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Matthew Henry. Those that go no further in Christ's service than a bare profession, he does not accept, nor will he own them in the great day. See what a height of hope men may fall into, the depths of misery, how they may go to hell by the gates of heaven. See, some of y'all are close. Some of y'all are close. Sometimes it's just from here to here. And if you get that truth from your mind to your heart, that's the difference between heaven, and hell, okay? This should be an awakening word to all Christians. If a preacher, one that cast out devils and wrought miracles, be disowned of Christ for working iniquity, what will become of us if we are found such? And if we be such, we will certainly be found such. At God's bar, a profession of religion will not bear out any man in the practice and indulgence of sin. Therefore, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from all iniquity. And I offer you life here tonight. If you've already prayed that prayer, man, we have our time of invitation. If you'll come forward and just let me know that so we can all rejoice with you, because that's part of confession, okay? But if you're still in the decision mode, man, come, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Man, these altars are going to be open here in just a minute, and you're going to have a time of invitation. And I tell you, if you're a confident Christian, you just want to come up here and praise God for intercepting you from death and hell. Man, do that tonight. Just respond to our Lord tonight. Because the final test will not be what others say or what you say, but it's whatever God says, okay? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I beg you to let your spirit be evident, Lord, in people's lives tonight, God. Not by anything on the outside, God. Not by anything that we need to see. Not even if the fact that they come pray, that doesn't mean anything. God, I pray that hearts were cleansed here tonight. Lord, and I pray that Christians have the confidence to stand boldly for you. And God, that this would be a turning point for some in this room tonight. God, but if there's even one here tonight that is still rejecting you, God, I pray, God, somewhere you break through that confusion. Lord, you give them faith that knows that they can move a mountain, God. But Lord, I ask you just for that simple faith, Lord, of yes, I don't know what I'm doing, but I need Jesus. God, tonight in this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you would be mightily, mightily glorified. Amen. Thank y'all for coming tonight, staying. Y'all know the heart of love that come from, I hope, you know, and not mine, but God's, okay? God loves you, and I still, man, I feel like there's some freedom in this place tonight, but I also feel like there's still some of y'all that just have that little hint of doubt. But remember what I said at the beginning. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make a true believer doubt, okay? But if that doubt is conviction, please deal with it, okay? And we got the church office on the city where my phone number's in the book. I mean, if any of y'all need to talk about anything, just please. I mean, we got four new deacons. We got this thing spread out. The newsletter, I don't know if it's out yet, but it's close. But is it out already? There's some newsletters out there. It's got every contact you can imagine. We've got Barney. We've got all the new deacons and all the elders on there, and their contact information. And the reason we do that is because we want to be available to you guys, okay? We want to be available to you guys. And so just call anybody you feel comfortable with, okay? And so we just, man, we love the Lord and we want to serve you guys. So thank you for tonight. We do need help picking up the Bibles and stuff like that. So contact visitation package. Y'all might have forgot about that. Y'all pick up those. If y'all don't know anything about that, call one of us as well. We won't go into that tonight. We'll sing a song. Y'all are dismissed.